The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we welcome you back. The second hour is live on St. Patrick's Day, and a lot of basketball already. Michigan wins early against Colorado State. Tennessee winning comfortably right now as the second half begins in Indianapolis. Kentucky later on, as well as Arkansas against Vermont. More of your phone calls here at 855-242-7285. Mike is in Virginia. Hey, Mike, you're on the air.
Hey, Paul, how's it going today?
Very well, thank you.
Well, you know, I just got two things for you. Number one, tell your friend Jim that you have a limit. He can only quit 750 times.
Well, I've said this before, and I'll say it again, but I think this is it for Jim.
Well, let's hope so. But talking about the Lenardi guy, was it Joe Lenardi?
Joe Lenardi, yes.
You know, he said on another TV show Sunday that I think it was Sunday or Monday. No, it said Monday that the Sunday games make no difference at all to the seedings. You know, when you pick seedings for the NCAA tournament,
right? Well, I think that has really become the question mark. What Lenardi did was come out. He came after Buzz Williams. And here's the part of it that I think caught people by surprise. This is when he called it. He said it's terrible PR for one, and it sorely misrepresents a necessarily perfect process. Shame on A&M. Where's the adult in the room? I mean, those are serious words. I mean, he is completely beheaded Buzz Williams with that statement.
Yeah, well, you know, we got to have Buzz for 3 years up here at Virginia Tech, but you know, we were probably mad and pissed off when he left. But we got a guy now, Mike Young. I don't think we traded anybody for him.
He's done well. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Mike, thank you very much. Meanwhile, Memphis has advanced under Penny Hardaway. A lot of people thought this team could be one of the best teams in the country back in November. They skidded their way through the first part of the schedule, but have taken down Boise State. Mountain West having a rough day with Wyoming, Boise, and Colorado State already out, and it's only, 2 o'clock out in that part of the country. Let's continue with more phone calls. Ryan is up next. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Paul, what's going on, man?
Hey there.
Hey, Paul. Listen, I wanted to ask you, I've got two or three different subjects that I wanted to touch base with you on. Number one is Tom Brady. Do you think he ran out of money, can't keep the lights on, so he had to come back to work? What's his motivation?
Yeah, I'm still baffled by that, because Tom Brady is not your conventional athlete where he makes a decision and he discusses it. He just puts something up on Instagram and goes to Costa Rica for the weekend. I don't know. The whole thing about the first retirement was weird, how it came out, and then he denied it, and then it finally was announced with no press conference, no interviews. And I'm not surprised that he found out he didn't like retirement, but most people usually go more than 6 weeks, don't they?
I would think so. Even a government employee would, Paul. Hey, listen, one more question. I'm filling out my bracket. I've got them all filled out. And I've got two games that I think is very, very interesting if both of the local teams in the South can get there. Is UTC the Mocs versus UAB possibly in the Sweet 16? What do you think about that? Or to go to Sweet 16?
Well, I am very familiar with both programs, having seen a lot of UAB, and I used to know the Mocs coach. In fact, I remember I covered a regional about 25 years ago when the Mocs made it to the Sweet 16.
That's right, man. That's right. And they played in Birmingham, right?
They sure did. They ended up playing Arizona, I believe, in the – not the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight.
Providence.
Yeah, or Providence. Yeah, I can't remember which one it was. But it was a very memorable run. Mac – what was the guy's name? Mac McCarthy was once their coach. He was an assistant at Auburn when I covered Auburn early in my career.
That's awesome. So listen, I am actually in Pittsburgh right now, up here to watch both games. So listen, go Mox, roll Tide, go Blazers.
Ryan, thank you. You take care of yourself. Enjoy the game. UAB playing Houston, I believe. So that should be another fascinating game. Let's talk to Joe in Texas. Hey, Joe, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Thanks again for taking my call.
Thank you.
Real quick, I just wanted to point out a couple of things. I think there's a lot of biases going on right now, and one, people are talking about SEC bias, but I do want to mention that Texas A&M has been snubbed twice in the last few years. There's this basketball snub, and there's the football, the CFP snub a few years ago, or whenever that was.
That was 2 years
ago. I just wanted to point out that the beneficiary of both of those snubs was Notre Dame.
You're right.
So, you know, I really believe there's a blue blood bias in the world. I've lived with it forever since I grew up in Syracuse and I went to Buffalo and all this kind of stuff. It's always been around. Then I would also talk about Tennessee. If you look at who the two seeds are, they're Villanova, Duke, of all things, and another blue blood basketball team. And also Auburn. Now, it seems to me that committee is not going to put two SEC teams in and exclude those blue bloods. I just can't see that happening.
Well, remember, Kentucky is one of those number two seeds.
Yes, and then Kentucky too. So that would be.
Yeah, I think the big argument was by many people that Duke should have been a number three seed. And mm-hmm. I mean, they looked. They had two double-digit losses in consecutive weeks to serious underdogs.
Right. Well, anyway, I just wanted to just point that out since I ranted about Notre Dame the other day on the show. So
well,
thanks for taking my call,
Joe. Thank you, and you're right about that. Mark is up next in Missouri. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call. Got a question. You know, Missouri let Konzo Martin go. Well, who do they think they're going to be able to get? Do you have any idea? Have you heard anything?
I have not. I mean, there are so many openings right now that I have lost track. And by the way, I know some of you who are late to the show today, Mississippi State fired Ben Howland a couple of hours ago continue the carnage of SEC coaches. I have not heard any significant names. I mean, we have a new athletic director in Columbia. This is her first big hire. I'm really interested and intrigued to see where she goes.
Well, to me, it's like you're going to get rid of somebody, and I get it, but it's like you got to have somebody in mind because you're going to be – Missouri is not only the only open job right now, so I don't just see –
Yeah, Mark, I don't think this was a surprise either, so my guess is the Missouri administration has probably been looking around for a couple weeks. Take a quick break. Stuart Mandel from The Athletic, some really exciting stuff that he has been working on, is next. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we welcome you back. We'll update you on some of the basketball scores, but Tennessee just obliterating Longwood, as expected, in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Stuart Mandel joining us from The Athletic, and just an absolutely fascinating story the other day about millions and millions of dollars going to a high school about to be a college player. Does that make sense? A five-star recruit signing a deal with a collective that could pay him more than $8 million. Stuart, great to have you on, and fantastic story. People have been talking about this since the moment it hit the wires the other day. Thanks for being here. Give us the backstory for those who may not have had a chance to read it yet.
Well, thanks, Paul. I caught wind late last week that, yes, a five-star recruit in the 2023 class was about to sign a deal with a collective at a school that was going to, in writing, in the contract, promise him, you know, more than $2 million a year, the chance to be more than $8 million over 4 years, just staggering amounts of money, you know, in a sport that until July 1st, you couldn't legally pay anybody a dime. So I got to read the contract in exchange for preserving the anonymity. And it was just really fascinating because this is clearly an inducement to play at the school, which is absolutely not allowed. And yet the parties have crafted it in a way where the school is never mentioned. There is a clause in there that specifically says this is not an inducement to come play at a certain school. And as far as I can tell, there's no language in there that assures that the player will sign with that school. So this entity, whose whole, you know, purpose is to support their favorite team, is promising more than $8 million to a high school junior with no written assurance if this player will actually sign with the school. Just unprecedented times that we're living in.
Yeah, and the reaction has been predictable, but and I know you're under some limitations, but the speculation, of course, has been rampant. And assuming this goes, it all comes together here in the next year, I'm not sure even how to phrase the next question in terms of changing things, because it changes every day, does it not?
Yeah, everything is so fluid, Paul. You know, we're here in March Madness, and this is the first March Madness, right, where you're going to start to see some active players show up in the commercials. And I think that's what is cool about NIL, and that's what everybody was hoping would come of NIL. And we all knew that boosters would find a way to use this in recruiting, because they've been doing it under the table for the history of college football. But what caught me off guard, and I think caught most people in the sport off guard, was the very fast evolution of these collectives, these groups that are kind of like a political action committee, a fundraising committee, where they pool all the donors together and they raise the money, and then they can divvy that money up as they see fit to the players that they most want to take care of. And all under the legitimate, you know, I'm using air quotes, you can't see it, legitimate, you know, purpose of giving them or having them do NIL activities, having them do autograph signings and appearances and social media endorsements and whatnot. And there are certain schools. I mean, I'm seeing a new ones of these sprout up every week. And I think every school will have them at some point, but some of them just really got ahead of the curve, and they figured it out real quickly, and they have a lot more money. And so I've heard people say since my story came out, you know, this is just the start, that, you know, now there's going to be all these other players that get $8 million deals. I don't know that there's many that have that kind of money to give at this point. It just so happens that this one feels confident enough that they can promise that kind of money. But, you know, a lot of these, when you see, you know, such and such has launched an NIL collective, that NIL collective might not be much more than a web address at this point.
In terms of how these work, Stuart, how are they put together and how are they kept above board?
David Ubben, my colleague, had a really good look at the Tennessee one recently. That was probably the most detailed story I've seen so far about how one of them is working. They're kind of like they become like the de facto agents for the kids, basically, or marketers, however you want to put it. In this deal that I read, with the collective and that contract, you know, they're promising all this money, but it comes at a cost. The kid has to sign over the exclusive rights to his NIL for the entirety of the term. So if Dr. Pepper wants to do an ad with him, they can't come to the kid himself. Now they have to go to the collective. So suddenly the collective holds a lot of power over this kid. Not all of them are necessarily structured that way, but that seems, from what I'm understanding, and I'm learning more about it every day, that's kind of the most popular model right now, is that it's almost like we consolidate. We take all the players and pool all their NIL rights into one place, and then we broker the deals for them. There are others that are more innocent, I guess you would say, that they, they're nonprofits. You know, the one David profiled is definitely a for-profit LLC. There are other ones that are nonprofits that are trying to, book charity appearances for the players that they get paid for. It's all over the map. Some of them are doing group licensing deals so that the players can sell their jerseys. But, the kind of collective that would be going after a high school junior and promising all kinds of money, I mean, that is very strictly a we raise the money, and then we own the rights to market your name, image, and likeness.
Talking to Stuart Mandel of The Athletic. Stuart, you mentioned a couple of things in your most recent column. One that I'm intrigued by, because we've had this conversation a million times about the CFP committee, and now this week the men's basketball committee is really taking it on the chin. They are different in some respects, but how would you compare and contrast the really two of the most important committees that we deal with in intercollegiate athletics?
I think the basketball committee, and I've done the mock exercises for both, the basketball committee is much more organized, much more advanced. You may disagree with their decisions. You may disagree with where they seeded Tennessee this week. But, it's very public, the methodology that they use, the net rankings and the quad one and the quad two. I mean, the NCAA publishes that data. It's no secret, right? The College Football Playoff Committee's idea of transparency is that Gary Barta goes on ESPN every Tuesday, and they ask him about, hey, Cincinnati, why are they ranked here? And he'll say, oh, we have great respect for Cincinnati. And then he'll offer you very little detail beyond that. They'll talk about strength of schedule, but they have never publicized, like, what strength of schedule rankings are you looking at? I don't love it. I wish they were more like the basketball committee. I wish there was more transparency. I think that, it's a little tough to do an apples to apples because there are so many more games in basketball. And when you're only 6-7 games into the football season, that data can be very misleading. You know, sometimes it doesn't feel very complete till you get to the end. Whereas, by mid-January or February in basketball, you've got a lot of data already. So I get that. But, given that it's a lot of the same people involved, right, that there's a lot of overlap, people who've served on both committees, commissioners who've been on those committees, it's a little disappointing to me that the football committee is so non-transparent, if you will.
You mentioned one other thing that's come up a couple of times here with the changing of the guard with Florida basketball. There was a time when I think Florida had back-to-back basketball, football, national championships, but seeing elite programs in both is rare. There are occasions, we know that, but your thoughts after giving that some thought about why that is?
Yeah, I remember that period in 2006 and through 2008 in Florida was just dominating in both sports. And, when you're in the moment, you don't think like, oh, this is going to end. It is very hard to pull off what they pulled off over that period. And it's been very hard for many schools to have sustained success in both. Baylor's doing it right now. But for the most part, I mean, it seems like the schools that are really good in basketball are not very good in football and vice versa. And what I wrote in my mailbag is just that I think, generally speaking, in both sports, the sports that have the most rabid fan bases are the sports that are winning at a high level. And obviously those two things go hand in hand. And it's just hard. I mean, Kansas could hire Nick Saban tomorrow, and Kansas fans still wouldn't care about football as much as they care about basketball. And that makes it hard to build an elite program. But as I also said in that mailbag, and I'm sure you've observed this, but I feel like, you know, a lot of the non-Kentucky SEC schools were like that for a long, long time, where basketball is just kind of an afterthought. And I've really seen over the last 5 or 6 years, Auburn, Tennessee, Alabama, a lot of these schools become really energized about basketball. Not the same, not to the same level as football necessarily, but fans love a winner. And, you know, these schools have hired good coaches. Bruce Pearl comes in and does what he's done at Auburn. Fans will rally around that and get excited. And that's how, what you got to do. That's how you enjoy success in both.
Fantastic stuff, as always, from Stuart Mandel of The Athletic. Stuart, many, many thanks. You be well. We'll take a quick break here. We'll update you on anything that is currently going on in the NCAA basketball tournament. Quite frankly, there's not much. And more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
So the there's two brackets. There's the regular bracket and the Feinbaum bracket. And still some time to vote. We've got battles going on right now between Pat and Miss Faye. That's an exciting one. Augie and Hugh from Deep Gap. And K-Dub and Judge Chris. You can vote on at Feinbaum, at the Feinbaum Twitter handle. There are some key matchups the rest of the week, and then we'll advance. Speaking of that, let's get back to our calls. And Tim is in New Jersey. Hello, Tim.
Hey, Paul. How are you? I don't know if you remember me. I called a couple of times, and I'm the guy from the north that calls you. I played for George Welsh. We had a conversation.
Oh, yes, I do remember that. Well, thank you so much for calling.
Yeah, I called you about 2 months ago talking about this problem with the athletes getting paid. And, I mean, as of today, you know, this example of $8 million situation, I got to tell you, hang on to your hat, Paul, because it's going to get a heck of a lot worse. You're going to have situations where you have athletes that are in basketball that only stay in college 1 or maybe 2 years, or a situation where you have an athlete, let's say a golfer, is going to be in that situation, and they only stay in the sport or in the college for, you know, a limited number of years. Football is going to be a little bit different because most of these kids stay at least 3 to 4 years. But, you know, hang on to your hat. It's going to happen in not just the major sports, but the minor sports as well. And I'm really, really disappointed that the NCAA has basically had their head in the sand over this whole thing, and they haven't stepped up and be prepared to address this big, big problem. And like I said, it's going to get a heck of a lot worse.
Well, Tim, the NCAA has not done anything about anything. You know, they could have attempted to rectify the situation years ago, but they didn't. And now there's nothing they can do.
Well, you know, you're right about that, Paul. And I often wondered, like, what do they do? What does the NCAA do other than get, you know, paid? I don't know how many people are in that organization, but I would think it's a large organization. I mean, there's a lot of probably hierarchy and bureaucracy that's in that group. And what are they doing? I mean, besides getting paid to do God knows what?
Well, they really it's a very bureaucratic organization that has a Taj Mahal headquarters in Indianapolis. The president of the NCAA, Mark Emmert, makes a couple of $1 million a year. He flies around the country in a private plane and essentially nods his head and continues to get extended by the presidents, who don't want anyone else because they're obviously concerned that somebody new may blow the place up. So they've opted out on every responsibility, NIL being at the top of the list. And they just outsourced their own bylaws to a group of people. And it's truly sad. They even the enforcement division, which used to be the best known thing, they now have a secondary aspect of that. And with NIL, there's virtually if you're caught today, you're probably never going to find the NCAA dungeon. There's still a couple of schools like LSU and Tennessee who didn't make the cutoff. But you make a very good point. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Let's check in next with Jim, who is in South Carolina. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Paul. Third time caller. You had mentioned yesterday about the NCAA and bias towards certain teams. It was quite evident in the North Carolina situation when they were cheating and they got a slap on the hand. They should have given North Carolina the death penalty.
Yeah, I thought that was outrageous. You're 100% correct. Yeah. But here's the problem with that one, and I've spoken to people that served on that committee. Mm-hmm. They were handcuffed because of the bylaws. When North Carolina did, and they did it, you could not hit them specifically because of the ambiguity of the bylaw. I think North Carolina ended up spending something like $30 million in legal fees. And I'm not trying to say just because you do one thing, it means something else. But it's common sense to know that if you spent that much money, you were plenty worried.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they got away with murder.
Yeah, they did.
Julius Peppers wouldn't have graduated. The only thing that kept him in school, I read the book. The book on that is really good.
Right.
You already know all that. I'm not telling you, you don't know. But anyway, I appreciate your program,
Thank you.
I appreciate you letting me call.
Well, they covered up a lot of basketball coaches going back to Dean Smith. They won a national championship as a result of not going on probation. So the folks in Chapel Hill are happy. They beat the system, and they're not the only ones. Cheerleader is next.
Hi, Paul. Hi, good looking.
Thank you.
How you doing? You've obviously
got the preamble to getting good airtime here.
You better believe it. And I have a wonderful invitation. I'm sure you will not be at every NCAA college basketball tournament, but I'm inviting you and Linda to come to the Gulf Coast.
Right.
I have reserved an outdoor bar that you can look right out to the Gulf of Mexico. I've been allowed to invite 20 people.
Okay.
And do you drink beer?
It depends on.
Do you drink anything?
It depends on how tense the show is. I will drink anything after this program.
Well, from battery acid to lemon juice, The reason I'm saying that is because whatever you are drinking, there will be a Paul Feinbaum label on your beverage.
So when is this event, cheerleader?
Well, this is going to be. You're going to have to tell me when it's going to be and when you can be there in Linda.
Well,
and the 20th, I've got a few people I want to invite, and I know you do too.
Well, I am. I have two events. I'm going to be on the golf twice in the spring. I have to be there for something in late May and then late in June. I've got a speaking engagement down there for in June, so I will be there.
I don't know if I'll
get there before then, though.
Well, we can just have a Paul Feinbaum party, and we can just move the date. The private party out there on the
but I will be in Birmingham probably three or four times before that, so maybe we can
you got my telephone number.
I think I do.
You got my number, and
you put it on the back of a napkin, if I remember correctly.
Well, it was on the back of something. I don't know what it was, but the man that answers the phone will give you my number. But I want to invite some really good characters to this situation.
Okay.
Because we are going to raise you know what and jump up and down. And, of course, you and Linda, me, and with me, I'm taking four people.
Mm-hmm.
I think Laura Rutledge ought to come.
Yeah,
I want Jerome to come. I want Jerome to come. And I want Charles from Real Town to come.
Okay.
I just want to see what he's like. And then,
well, yeah.
Larry, and we'll have plenty, no, I'm not, plenty of Bud Light for him.
You just lost me. I'm not going if Larry's going.
Well, then we'll scratch Larry. Okay. We'll scratch Larry, and you can have the rest of the picks for the other one. You can have the rest of the picks,
I'll be in Birmingham in about a month. We'll hook up. Well, I mean, hook up, but we'll talk. We'll take a break. That was a rough call for me. We'll take a break. More phone calls at 855-242-7285. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we welcome all of you back, and we'll give you an update right now. Tennessee just destroying Longwood. 85-54 right now, late in the game, a minute 22. It has never been in doubt. And with a win today, Tennessee takes on Michigan. That's a good game. Michigan last year made that deep run. Michigan, a team that wasn't even assured of the tournament a couple weeks ago after Juwan Howard was suspended, but the Vols, with a very impressive first-round game. It's worth remembering last year, Tennessee lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Not this year. Let's get more phone calls here, and this is a good time to call in. We have a guest coming up in a few minutes, so if you want to jump on board, we'll take you at 855-242-7285. Al is up next. Hey, Al.
Hey, Paul. Today I'm singing the Powder Blues.
What's wrong?
How much longer are we going to have to put up with Lane Kiffin and his powder blue uniforms? I never had a problem with the powder blue helmets when they first started using them again in the 2010s. But ever since Lane Kiffin's gotten here, I mean, we started wearing powder blue helmets almost every week. It's like our primary helmet. And then in addition to that, we broke out the powder blue jerseys. I mean, he's wearing those like six times a year. I mean, when that Eli Manning game, I thought that they were going to take a more traditional approach, and they were going to wear the typical navy blue, red, right, and silver pants. But no, he wore powder blue helmets and powder blue jerseys and white pants. I mean, I'm tired of all this.
I don't know that I was there that weekend, so I do remember that. Is this Lane Kiffin's doing, or is somebody else making this decision?
Well, it started when he came, and he's always wearing those powder blue shirts and
right,
everything. Why can't we get some consistency? I like the old uniforms. Because he didn't even wear red jerseys. He made them wear red jerseys once this year, and it was with a powder blue helmet and white pants. Not a single time that they wear navy blue helmets.
Not that any of this really matters, Al, but you would prefer the traditional blue, white, red?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And then at home, blue, red, silver.
Yeah. Okay, well, I must say, I've never really given it thought. I mean, I have noticed the powder blue. Someone must like it. Thank you for the call. Will is up next in New York. Hey, Will.
Hey, what's going on, Paul?
Hey there.
So I got a question about Juwan Howard.
Right.
So I know that he was suspended for the five games for the remainder of the season. How come he wasn't suspended for the tournament?
I don't know. I felt like he should have been. A lot of people did, but the university and consulting with the Big Ten didn't feel like he deserved any more. But I think he got off of that pretty well. That was a dangerous situation.
Yeah, like, I feel like it's not fair, and, like, it set, like, a really bad example for, like, other coaches as well. Like, just in case that ever happened again, I guess? Like, what would the league do, I guess, you know?
Well, I will say this about Juwan Howard. I think he's a really good coach. He's also really fortunate to only have missed out on a couple of games. Hey, thank you for the call. You did a good job today coaching. I'll give him that. Michael is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Michael.
Hey, Paul. I listen to Red Dog criticize. I mean, I'm sorry. I hear Legend criticize Red Dog and demean so many different people. And I looked up the definition of legend in the dictionary. And the first description is a traditional story popularly regarded as historical but unauthenticated. And I thought unauthenticated was a perfect description of legend. And I just want to say that as a Georgia grad, you know, we understand Alabama's dominance over the years, but there's a new dog in town. And Red Dog and Michael in North Carolina, we're coming for legend. We're coming for you. Unauthenticated legend. We're out here in North Carolina. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. DJ is up next in Alabama. Hello, DJ.
Yo, 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 what's up, Paul?
Hey there.
It's your boy, DJ Pip. How are you?
We are doing great.
Wow, it's great to talk to you. I've always listened to your show. I actually wanted to see if Legend was going to call in today. I'm working on a DJ set, and I was going to see if I could get him to say a certain line.
Well, I bet what's the line that you want him to say?
It's the specific line about slapping people.
Oh, okay.
So maybe if he comes on, I'll record it and I'll put it in my set.
Where are you put? Where's your set operating out of these days?
Here in Tuscaloosa. You can find me on campus, just around town. Longtime Alabama fan. I was born and raised here.
Well, I am really glad to hear that. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. How about Landon in Mississippi? Landon, good afternoon.
Hey, what's up, boss? How you doing today?
Landon, we are well. Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to comment on the last guy that called in about Ole Miss. I mean, it's actually the Ole Miss players that decide on the uniforms. Lane Kiffin didn't have much to do with it.
Yeah, I'm glad you told me that because I cannot imagine Lane Kiffin cares what those guys are wearing.
No, he doesn't. I mean, yeah, he might walk around town riding on the bus wearing the powder blue, but it looks good. It's not anything to do with him picking. It's the players that pick. And really, I wanted to kind of pick your brain about what you think on Ole Miss baseball this year.
I'm always really high on Ole Miss baseball. And it seems like I'm not going to find fault. I mean, but they always seem like they just come up a fraction short.
Hey, who are you telling, brother? I know what that is. So.
Ole Miss is playing Auburn tonight. Is that right? So Ole Miss and Auburn will be on as soon as we go off the air. So baseball coverage alive and well here on the network. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. How about James in Kentucky? Hello, James.
Hello, Paul. How you doing today, sir?
We are doing great.
All right. I read an article the other day, and I'm not sure if I understood it right, that Alabama had hired a tight ends coach specifically for tight ends.
That is correct.
Okay. And
yeah, Joe Cox. Here's the deal. I think I know where you're going. The NCAA approved this about 2 years ago. That every staff can add a 10th member, and Nick Saban has now dedicated that to tight ends, and he brought Cox in, and has really put tremendous emphasis on that position.
Okay. All right. And do you think they've shored their defense up from last year?
I do, based on what people are telling me. Now, I was a little disappointed last year because before the season, there had been an expectation of that defense that was a little bit higher. But, you know, things happen. And I think ultimately they were a good defense. They just weren't quite in the Georgia League. But nobody will ever be, perhaps, in that league. We're up against a break. We have a lot to do. We're heading to Tuscaloosa in a few minutes and get an update on a couple of things Alabama-related. We'll update you more on basketball as Tennessee wins easily in the first round of the NCAA tournament. We're coming right back.